Westside Baptist Church in Newnan, Georgia, brings you our weekly podcast. We hope you will be encouraged by our music and a message from the Word of God as we present our Sunday morning and Sunday evening services and our weekly broadcast by Dr. Melvin Payne. We thank you for listening.
If you ever need a friend closer than your brother, try Jesus. And if you ever need a counselor better than your mother, try Jesus. And if you ever need someone to draw you closer to the Father, try Jesus. And if you ever need a hand to help you step out on that water, try Jesus. He alone knows your condition. He alone knows your heart's intention. If you ever needed someone to lay down their life for you, try Jesus. If you ever need a healer when the doctor walks away, friend, try Jesus. And if you never thought you'd have the strength to face just one more day, try Jesus. If you ever needed someone to walk with you till the end, try my Jesus. And if you ever need to hear the words, I forgive you once again, try Jesus. Try Jesus. He never fails. Try Jesus. When the doubts assail, try Jesus. He never fails. If you ever need a friend, try Jesus. And if you ever need to hear the words, I forgive you once again, try Jesus.
The gulf that separated me from Christ my Lord It was so vast, the crossing I could never afford. From where I was to his demands, it seemed so far. And I cried, dear Lord, I cannot come to where you are. He came to me. He came to me when I could not come to where he was. He came to me. He died on Calvary when I could not come to where he was. He came to me. To me when I was bound in the chains of my sins. He came to me when I possessed no hope within. Oh, then he came and he ran and he picked me up and he drew me so gently to his side. And today in his sweet love I now abide. I'm so glad for the day that Jesus, he came to me. Yes, he came to me. When I could not come to where he was, he laid aside everything and he came down to me. Yes. Oh, that's why my Jesus died on Calvary, when I could not come to where my Jesus was, then he came to me. Could not come to where Jesus was. He came to me. He came to me.
Every song tonight dealt with God's graciousness. And I'm not going to preach because Pastor Payne is. But this is what came to my mind. I will save it to maybe next Sunday. I don't know if the Lord will lead me. But in my studies, But something happened in the scripture that was so profound that I think we can draw from it, and it's this. Do you remember King Ahab? He was wicked. He was wicked. His daddy was wicked. He was wicked. And he was a wicked man. He married a wicked woman. And the devil used Ahab to bring the worship of many false idols because of his selling out. The Bible, and as a matter of fact, the Bible even uses that term, that he sold out. Well, then he allowed God's men to be killed. And then even Elijah had to run for his life. He allowed a man to be murdered just so he could have his vineyard. King Ahab was an evil dude. Elijah went to Ahab and lowered the boom on him. And I'm just going to paraphrase it. Boy, you're in trouble. You've connived and sold out and murdered, and you're standing in the middle of this vineyard that really isn't yours. God's going to cut you off at the knees. And that doesn't count what he said about Jezebel. But I'm dealing with Ahab just for a second. Ahab, this wicked, wicked, wicked king, fell apart and was humbled. Fell down before the Lord in humility and asked forgiveness. Now, this is King Ahab. And you know what God said? Because you've humbled yourself before me, there will be no evil come upon Israel while you're alive. Aren't you glad that our God that came to us shows us and gives us a picture of his perfect mercy through that nasty, nasty dude, King Ahab. I just want to share that with you.
Pastor, you come and preach, please.
Thank you very much, sir. That's an honorable thing you did. By the way, you should have continued that message. I've already heard it, and it's great. Yeah, he was sitting down in his office the other day, and he began to go through these scriptures. And man, I'm telling you what, for the longest I just sit there and enjoyed myself as he expounded the message that he was going to preach. So I'm looking forward to next Sunday when he's well enough and he's able to get up here and preach. I feel humbled to be here tonight in this pulpit. We're so blessed to have Brother Alton coming on board. It was God's perfect will. And then God has sent us this young, I'm going to say young whippersnapper, Steve. To work with our youth, but then we should never forget Joe, Preacher Joe, and then Mike Atkins. And I'm telling you what, if you have not listened or if you have not heard William Davison lately, that man is hitting the ball out of the park. We're blessed around here. And then Brother Alton Sr., he got my car. Don't y'all confuse when you see him going down the road. If it stops at the wrong place, it's not me. It's just good to be here tonight. I'm going to be brief. I will not be like Pharaoh. I will let my people go. In the 21st chapter of the book of Psalms, every time I read this, there is a particular reference in this Psalms that grabs my attention. Several years ago, you are aware that God blessed us with the opportunity of Brother Mike and myself and others to go to Israel. And we were privileged to stand in the very spot where the psalmist penned down this psalm. He opens up with this wonderful, wonderful passage. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, as we look at this very carefully, and he says, I shall not want. You see, that becomes a personal thing tonight. Salvation is a personal experience. You could not be saved in my place. I could not be saved in your place. It's a one-on-one individual personal relationship with Holy God. I'm so glad tonight that we are born again, Christians, and we're going somewhere, and I think maybe pretty soon. But the Lord tonight, I want to declare, is my shepherd. I remember the day I got saved, 20 years of age, when the Lord came into my life and began to direct my path and set me on the right course because he had a plan and a program for my life. Friend, God has a plan, a program for your life tonight. You might not be the Sunday school teacher. You might not be a pastor, a preacher. You might not even be able to sing in the choir like William. Boy, wasn't that solo tonight, that lady. What didn't she do a good job? Man, but listen, what I'm trying to say is, it's not what we have or have not, but it's what we have that we ought to be yielding to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. He says, I'm not going to want for anything. But over in the book of John, chapter 10, verse 3 and 4, we find these words. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. Notice very carefully. It says the sheep hear his voice. You know, there are a lot of goats that come to church. And that preacher, did you hear what that preacher said? Have preacher stew for supper? And just chew the preacher to death when the preacher has studied and prayed and sought God and has delivered what God wants to be said to a congregation of people to say. He says, the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name. The song says there's a new name written in glory, and it's mine. Brother Mays Jackson used to love to get me in a service, and he'd say, stand up, recognize these preachers, and I'd say, my name's Melvin Payne. He says, by the way, Brother Payne, there's not going to be any pains in heaven. I hollered back, yes, but Brother Mays, I got a new name, and it's written down already. Oh, listen. Hey, I don't know what it's going to be, but I know it says it's a new name. I hope it's not one of these big, long, that I can't even spell names. Just it would be so good enough for me. I think I can remember it. But notice here, it says, and when he putteth forth his sheep, his own sheep, he goeth before them. Can you realize tonight that we're not walking this path alone? There used to be a gospel song that says about you got to walk that lonesome valley, you got to go there by yourself. Wrong. I want to tell you, the valley might be lonesome, but you got a visitor walking along with you. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you got a visitor walking along with you tonight. He says, and the sheep follow him. You know, there's a lot of goats that have their names on Baptist church rolls today. other oils. I'm not talking about the others. I talk about Baptists because I are one. You see, there are a lot of people that have their names on the church roll tonight, but I want to tell you, when the death angel comes, he's going to call that individual to death. But when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, that's a different story. The voice of the archangel, the shout, the trump, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in a moment, twinkle of an eye, and so shall we, what, ever be with the Lord. I'm so glad tonight. I've got a hope, and I've got a home. It says, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. The shepherd knows us tonight, folks. Jesus knows who's real and who's imposters. Through my years of ministry, I've run into a lot of imposters. Brother Alton, you have, you will. Brother Midget, Brother Joe. They come in like they've wearing a halo and come to find out they're shining on halo. I don't tell you, when a Christian, a real born-again Christian comes into your presence, you know who they are. You know why? The Bible says that our spirit will bear witness with their spirit. You don't have to tell me who you're saved. I can look at you and feel that camaraderie, that companionship. I can say, hey, you're a Christian. What's our testimony tonight? You see, we're going out into the world tomorrow. It's going to be some up, some down, some in, some out. But you see, when we leave this place of worship tonight, as that sign says out front, you're entering the mission field. I guess it's still there. Anyway, listen tonight. What I'm trying to say is, if the Lord's our shepherd, he wants the sheep to follow him. But he wants the sheep to set an example and let other people, others know that he's a sheep. In other words, he wants us as Christians, represented as sheep, Christians, to identify and let the world know, hey, we are a Christian. And do you know how you do that? By the way you dress, by the way you live, by the way you go, where you go, and how you act. Those things will identify an individual as whether they are in or whether they are out. Well, that's pretty sharp, isn't it? You said the Lord, you said, Brother Melvin, when you read the 23rd Psalm, I thought we were going to shout all over this house. Yeah, and I could just see Brother Alton Sr. getting on one of those chandeliers and swinging around, too. He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. He leadeth me beside the still waters. You see, he provides the very best for us. Now, I'll tell you one thing. He sure did provide me with a good car. I've been wanting a car like that for years. The church has been awful good to me. And I don't complain about a single one the church has provided for me. But, boy, I'm telling you what, I just wanted one of them big ones so that I can, that if anybody else got in the way, I could outrun them. But it's just good to fellowship with the brethren. It says, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. Still waters, the untroubled waters. The waters that are stable and in its place. Not running, rapidly running this way and that way. Running up and down, running in. Not the waters running in and out, but I'll tell you what, they're running rapid. In other words, settling in the stillness and the worship of the Holy Spirit. Have you ever been to a place where you're just so awestruck by the presence of the Holy Spirit that you just could not utter. He was afraid to move. You didn't want to utter a word. You was in such an atmosphere where the Holy Spirit is present. We've experienced some of that here lately here at Westside Baptist. Where the Holy Spirit breathes through and bathes our soul and brings us into a worshipful fellowship of the Lord Jesus Christ. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, here's what I want to tell you. When the psalmist wrote this particular psalm, he was standing in a very particular, desolate, dry spot in Israel. The tour bus that we, Mike and I were on came to a stop. And the one that was the director of the group says, okay, group, get off. We're going to go up this little incline. Well, when we looked up the little incline, it was just a rock, just a rocky surface line. There's a sprig here, just hardly any leaves on, just one here and over. No vegetation to speak of at all. And so as we begin to walk up to this particular spot, we got to the edge of a canyon. We couldn't go any further. Avi, the guide, then began to tell us where we were at. There was a deep, deep canyon. There's a little trickle of water, not much, but a little trickle of water that went down. We wouldn't even call it a good creek in Georgia. A little bit of trickle of water. But right there at the very spot we were standing, there's another gorge, big, deep gorge this way. It looked like a cross. We were standing at the spot that's called the shadow of the valley of death. A literal spot. When the psalmist penned this chapter right here, this particular phase in the book of Psalms, we stood in that very spot where he looked down and he penned these words that have been a comfort to our hearts through the years. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he says, I will fear no evil. You see, he was running for his life. Folks, like it or not, we're running for our lives. You say, well, Brother Mel, I'm having it pretty good. Wait, the devil, he'll catch up with you. You just wait, settle down, he'll get you. Or if you're saved, he's on your trail. He's got your number. He wants to ruin your testimony. He wants to break up your home. He wants to run your Christian influence in the community. He wants to set you down on the pew of do nothing and just settle you there. Silence you. That's what he wants to do. But tonight I want to encourage you, regardless of what we face, the circumstances in our life, what's happening right now, we should stand firm. We should stay put. We should stay focused and keep our eyes on Jesus. And it'd be all right if you wanted to look at Donald Trump too. I thought I'd throw that one in, brother. Notice here. He says, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You say, well, now what in the world does that mean? Well, now this is a pastoral scene. You see, the shepherds had the sheep in the fields, and they tended to them. They looked after them. And that rod was a special tool. It was necessary, you see. If one of the little sheep was in harm's way, he could take that crook and he could pull him up. If he was, if he fell in water and was drowned, he could pull him up. If anything like that, he could pull him back to safety. But then it was used for another purpose too. If he got cantankerous and ornery and wouldn't stay with the flock, the shepherd would take the other end of that stick and he'd whop him and break his leg. You say, that's awful. No. You see, what the shepherd would do, he'd take that little sheep, put it over his shoulder, and carry that little sheep until his leg healed. You know, sometimes you think the Lord's against you, but he may be carrying you for some healing, you see. So when God is, he's always for us. He's never against us. So what we should do is we should walk as if we're in his presence at all times, for which we are. But then, you know, the old devil will get up and he'll get in that ear and he'll whisper and he'll say, you know, well, it'd be all right. The preacher don't know about this. You know what I'm talking about. And then first thing you know, they call it backsliding. Well, I know a few people that said there's backsliding, but they was on the sliding board down there and didn't come back up. Listen, it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, for thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Then in verse number 5, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Having a rough time? If you're walking for the Lord, if you're walking in and you're living a true testimony in the workplace, you know, some workplaces won't allow you to witness or pray. Won't allow you to talk about Jesus. And it's getting rougher and rougher and rougher. What are we going to do? Are we going to act like we don't know who he is? Or is that little song that we used to sing in the beginner class at the Baptist Church in Grantville when I was a kid? Let my little light shine, shine, shine. So this day, Miss Cole, the Sunday school teacher, it's embedded in my memory. And I'm talking about that was right before going to school time. That she'd bring this little light bulb, flashlight bulbs, and she handed to every one of the little kids, and we've had the little bulb. And she'd say, okay, now, class, we're going to sing this song. And when we get to that point where it says, let your little light shine, you got to hold your little light bulb up and let it shine. Oh, I thought that was the grandest thing in the world. A 5-year-old kid thought this was next to God. But I'll tell you what, those things that are past life can shape us for our future life. I was blessed to be raised in a godly home. Have godly wives, two godly children. I'm blessed. And a daughter. I'm not saying in-laws, but my daughter. And grandchildren. Now, see, I got off the hook that time. I saw Dave lean over there and say, why are you talking about you? Oh, dear Lord, I'm blessed. I'm just blessed. You see, as we read on, and we'll bring this message to a close, I'm reading the notes, and I'm just winging it by the word. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. I'm so full tonight. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Literally happened. Years back, as I was in my younger days, I was told that this elderly woman, that was a member of that particular church, was housebound. And So some of the members decided they'd go over there and comfort her. And in that discussion, they said, called her name, sister so-and-so said, "You're housebound, and you're here by yourself. You got to be lonely." She says, "No, I've got company with me all the time." They said, "Ma'am, what are you talking about? We haven't seen anybody. We don't know of anybody coming down this trail. We've not seen know of anybody come to your house." "Oh, yes. Well, tell me who, what are their names?" She just sat right up real quick and said, "Goodness and mercy is following me all the way I go." I'm going to tell you tonight in closing, thank God for the goodness and the mercy of God. I'm glad to be a Christian. I'm glad God used an old man like me, starting off as a young man through the years. I just want to hear him say, "Well done, a good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things." Heavenly Father, in the holy name of Jesus, as we bring this service to a close, we're going to begin to give an opportunity for Christians. And if there's one in the house that is not a Christian, not saved, or died in salvation, Lord, we're going to give that opportunity to come kneel in this altar and ask you to help them in the need that they need. Maybe family problems, families that's lost. Lord, in these last years, these last months, or last hours, really, we need to be more faithful, more looking up, and following you. Let us stand. In the name of Jesus, amen, let us stand as Brother Alton comes.
Just as I am, we